So, the 24th chapter of Ezekiel for this Sunday is the word of the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, was to me in the ninth year in the tenth month on the tenth day of the month, saying, Son of man, write for yourself the name of this day, this very day. The king of Babylon has leaned toward Jerusalem in this very day. He's against it. And a parable to the house of rebellion. So he's rebelling against my program. How many know you can't rebel against God's program and win? You'll perish. So Babylon, eventually, it will be said, is fallen. Already in heaven it's fallen. And as a matter of fact, it never accomplished anything. But they thought they did, and today I could name for you where the powers are in this world. And there's a certain place they are, and that's it. And so the Antichrist and the false prophet and so on and so forth, they'll strike up a deal, probably in your lifetime, and try to do away with Israel. And I just told you what that would be, 1260 days. The days don't change, the months and the years change, because 3.5 years of 30-day months is 1260 days. So the days don't change. So it's real easy to tell you, the world is out of order right now. In other words, if you just moved just a hair breadth, it would be back in order. But today, we have 29-something per month or whatever it is. So 365 sometimes different. But we're out of time. We got it all wrong. So it could happen much quicker than you think. Because in God's time, he'll restore this in time before time is up. He'll restore his original day. As soon as Israel is in her land, he'll restore it. It'll be, in fact, it'll be a whole new earth. You've never seen this earth before. It will be that fresh water is in Israel. Never happened before. It will be that all the fields in Israel will flourish. There won't be any land that won't. Today it's just a pile of rocks. But you'll see all of this maybe with your eyes. So whether I'll be alive or not, I don't know. But you certainly will be. And so I'm preparing you for that great and glorious day, because right after the tribulation of Israel, Jesus then will purify the priests, and every priest, 12,000 for each tribe, will be raised up from the dead, because even though they went through the tribulation, they will be servants of Jesus Christ from that moment on. They'll never change. And so they'll be the same as us. And so it's a powerful thing that we Gentiles will outnumber the Jewish people, because God said that to them, if you guys don't do what I say, I'm going to reject you, and I'll choose Gentiles. What? Gentiles, those bags of dirt people? Yeah, I will. I'll do it, because you didn't worship me with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Yeah, well, it was hard. No, it was not hard. It was impossible. You cannot be perfect in this world. You cannot be perfect in this world. But in the world to come, you'll be fine. But there'll be 1,000 years of perfection before that time comes, when Israel again will be in the land, the hall of the Gentiles will be under them. They will cling to a Jewish person. And so there'll be lots of men seeking a Jewish person to cling to, because they'll be ruling the earth, but we'll be in heaven. We won't be part of that group. You're looking forward to a day that you can't even imagine right now. If you try to imagine, you can't. a day when God's righteousness rules on the earth for 1,000 years, and after that, the new heaven and the new earth. But and that's right after the great white throne judgment. And so right now, he's trying to get all the sin out of the lukewarm church and out of any religion at all, to get them to realize Jesus is your only hope. Satan always loses. The beast always loses. The false prophet always loses. Only Israel will be spared, a portion of them. A portion of them. And we know exactly what portion it is, said in the Bible. All right. But you can't find it easily, but it's there. So, and a parable to the house of rebellion, and say to them, so saith the Lord Jehovah, Adonai Yahweh, set on the pot, set on, and also pour water in it. Gather its places into it, every good place, the thigh and the shoulder, fill it with choice bones. Take the choice of the flock and also pile the bones under it. At boiling, make it boil. Also let them see its bones in it. So the Lord Jehovah, and that's talking about the whole house of Israel being resurrected. Whole house of Israel. The wicked? No. Only the righteous. Only the righteous by faith, the faith of Abraham. So, bright future for Israel in the future, after the tribulation, after the tribulation. So, we'll all be in heaven by then. We're pre-wrath, post-trib. We're pre-wrath, post-trib. However, the Jews have to go through the trouble. They have to go through the trouble that's going to be happening because I don't want to spill all the beans, but the money power in the world controls the earth. The money power in the world controls the earth. And it's not a secret. It is a secret to everybody, but it's not a secret to me. I know exactly how they operate, who the people are, and so on and so forth. It's not hard to figure out that mammon, you're either going to worship God or mammon, they'll be worshiping mammon. And this is why they're going to get beat up, because their program is not going to work. They are now sitting in the... They're believing that their thing will be eternal. They're believing they're gods. They're believing that they'll rule forever, and their system is ironclad because they don't fear God. They're Machiavellian, and that is, you can lie, cheat, and steal and deceive the nations. And all governments are related to them. All governments. I don't know that you heard what I just said. All governments are subject to them. You'd have to think about what I said, but they have to do what they're told, and they don't have any choice. This thing is all determined by them as though they were God, and they'll sit in the temple, which they are, and saying, we're God. And you can't, so everybody else is going to be poor. Everybody else is going to be poor. The only problem is someone like Trump. He's not a globalist. He doesn't respect the what they call the establishment, Republican or Democrat, because they're all of them, they're all committed to America going down. But he's for, and I don't say that he'll be successful or not. It's up to God how that works out. I'm just saying right now, that's why he's hated. And maybe he understands what I understand about the world system being a billionaire. I only have a few thousand bucks, so what would I know? I just hope I can pay the bills and so on and so forth. But I'm not worried about that, because he said, fret not. He said, fret not because of evildoers.
Amen.
I don't fret. How do you not fret? I don't know. It's just easy. I just do it by faith.
Amen.
I don't even have to look at it and see it. I believe in an unseen world. They believe in a seen world. And so they're trying to make their way in a seen world. All religions except ours, believe in a visible church, a visible Buddhism, Hinduism, whatever. They're all visible. They have altars. They have sacrifices. They have, you know, they have all kinds of things. And you can see it. Ours is the only religion you can't see. There's nothing you can see except that Bible. That's the only thing you can see. Everybody else, you don't see it. You can't see faith. You can't see Jesus. You can't see God the Father. You can't see anything. But I read this book as though it's more real than the real world here. I read this book as though it's a love letter to me. Dear Jim, don't fret. Okay? How come? Because if I want to, I can make another economy inside their economy. That's what Trump is trying to do. Another economy that doesn't depend upon their gold and silver. Doesn't depend upon them being able to make loans to governments and keep everybody poor that way. That's why the people of the world, they don't know what's even going on. They're oblivious to it. They're working. First of all, they're slaving away. But second of all, these people cannot be touched. They're untouchable, meaning you don't even know where they live, and you don't know how they operate, and they're a secret group. They're a secret group. And just a handful of people run the whole world. Handful of people run the whole world. You don't know that. So you can know who they are. But most people are too busy, and they don't have time to worry about that. I'm having a ball. I don't know about y'all. I'm having a ball in this world because they control the world. They don't control God's world. Can God spread a table in the wilderness? Can God spread a table in the wilderness? That's a different economy than the one that controls you rather than you controlling it. America started out with noble words, but within a generation, it was already gone. It was already gone. And so those noble words disappointed everybody because they were noble words trying to do it God's way. But then pretty soon, God was gone. And by the time Madison died in 1835, that's when Texas was born, by the way, next year, only Texas then was left. Do y'all understand what I just said?
Yep.
Only Texas was left. And we're the, you know, buckle or whatever of the Bible Belt. We're the ones that said, we don't believe in that kind of stuff. Even someone here in Dallas, you know them. But they tried to buy up all the silver at one time. And, you know, now, what you've heard is not true. Did you think those people went out of business? They did not. The government realized if we take these people down, they have more silver than we do. Why don't we just say they're taken down, but they won't be. So I know some of those people. And so it's powerful. In other words, you're never told the truth. Nobody ever hears the truth. That's why whatever Trump calls it, a false media or something like that. What's he call it?
Fake news.
Fake media. That's why he calls it that, because they never tell the truth.
Yep.
And I secretly in my own mind think he may know what I know, but I don't know what kind of a Christian he is. So I have no idea. But he may know what I know, but it isn't. If you did a little digging, you could find out some of this stuff. whatever happens to Israel is going to happen, and Israel will exactly, because they don't come in just by faith. They come in by faith plus election. They were elected in Abraham, and so for that reason, God has to keep his promise. And they'll have their kingdom back. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? It's not for you to know the times and the seasons which God himself has fixed. And he's referring to the end of time. So we're at the end of time right now. It's been the end of time ever since Daniel. Ever since Daniel, that was the midpoint of history. Right then, you climb the mountain up, and then everything after that is what Daniel's all about, and the book of Revelation is all about, giving you the details of that, the next 3,500 years. And so Jesus is born at the end of time. He is 4,000 years into the world. And all of the founding fathers after the first century, they all believe that the world was only 7,000 years, without exception. I have all their books, so without exception. So they all believed it. The world will only be 7,000 years. 6,000, and then there'll be one to indict the other six. That will be the seventh, and we're in the seventh right now. And the Old Testament says, and on the third day, that means from when Jesus was born, on the third day, I'll be coming back. So the second time, the first time he came, he was killed. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Second time he comes, it won't be like that. He'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming with vengeance on the wicked. He's coming with vengeance. And that vengeance is because that's necessary. It's necessary to punish people that he knows in their hearts, because only God reads the heart. He knows in their hearts they're not in God's program. They're not doing what God wants. And he can see it in their heart. He doesn't have to. He just, okay, you go on the right, that'll be us. You go on the left, and that's it. It's not a complex deal. You think, well, maybe that'll take a month. No, it's not like that. You just say, are you born of the Spirit or are you born of the flesh? And if you did, are you mature or are you not? Well, how many of us are matured? Okay, by faith. So Willis answered correctly. By faith, you're mature. Because God made a promise. Jesus, through Jesus, he said, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. Well, if that's true, that's a promise you could cling to. I do. And so I don't care about my behavior. I only care about my faith in Jesus keeping his promise, not my keeping mine. Do you all understand what I just said? So you don't have a pastor that's pure to behavior. You have a pastor that's got faith like you all do. So I'm just like you, only I've read the book a little bit more, so that's why I'm the preacher. I mean, that's about it. I just keep reading it, Sam, so I can keep ahead of everybody here. And I like my job. I love it. You only preach, you know, an hour or so on Sunday morning and get paid for the whole year. I mean, it's like awesome. I actually work very, very hard. However, I'm saying it's easy. It's not easy, but with God's help, yeah, if he calls you, do what he says. So everybody has a ministry.
Amen.
Everybody has a ministry. If you're a businessman, you have a ministry.
True.
The Bible should touch every area of your life, economic, social, political, spiritual. It should touch everything. And so I study that night and day. I know exactly what God wants, and I know exactly what the trouble is, and I know exactly what you need to do. That is, I'm going to tell you now, read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. How many say, well, I don't have time? That's cute, but, you know, this is God. So you don't have to read it. I mean, there's no law that makes you read it. But I wouldn't say it's a recommendation. I would say he's commanded you to do it, but you don't do it. Actually, Jesus does it and gives you time during the day to meditate and to, you know, actually, all of us actually have read enough scripture that if you didn't read it, you still could meditate on the things you have known and have, you know, just say, I don't know one thing, but I know this. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you just sang that every day, you'd be further along than the rest of humanity. So I never forget that Jesus initiated this whole thing. And I never forget that he's going to finish it. I never forget that. I will never leave you or forsake you. Wow. That just... Because if he left it up to me, it wouldn't be done. I guarantee I would not be done. Because this is not a willpower thing. Just try your best. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in try your best. I believe in perfection, and only Jesus does that, so that's up to Jesus. He's perfect, made the perfect sacrifice. Let him do it. He'll come back as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He'll fix up all the bad guys. He knows exactly who they are. He will fix that up. I'm not worried about a thing. I have no curiosity about what's ahead. I know what's ahead because I can read it in the Bible, but I haven't seen it yet. I've never seen Jesus, but he was on the earth at some point, and he's not here now. You'll see me, and then you won't see me, and then you will see me. And, you know, it's all those mysterious things he says. But no, he's speaking literally. You see me now, but in a little while you won't see me, and then in a little while you will see me through the Holy Spirit in you. I'm going to send that Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And you know, if you can figure all that stuff out, you realize that's not mysterious at all. And I believe I'm faithful. But I believe I'm just telling you for no reason at all, not because I'm paid or anything like that. I just do it because that's my job. He called me, and I'm ready to die. I'm ready to pay whatever it takes, physically, psychologically, emotionally, whatever. I'm not worried about anything physically, not worried about it. So the Lord Jehovah says this, woe to the bloody city. What city is that? What city is the bloody city?
Jerusalem.
Where was the cross?
Jerusalem.
And that's the bloody city. That's good.
True.
I'm glad he was crucified. Because when he died, I died.
Amen.
I'm glad it's in Jerusalem. I've been there many times to see that, you know, cross. Only it ain't there. So all you can see is, you know, what people say, oh, it's here or it's there. I don't need to worry about that. I read it in the book. I have faith. I don't care where it really is. Could it be the one the Anglicans have figured out where your daughter used to live, Dan? She used to live right around the corner. And that's their little, you know, place they found. And that seems to me real, even if it's not, because there's a skull there and it's all kinds of things. And it looks like a skull. It's just, and now there's a Muslim gas station right there, actually buses, a bus stop right there. So it's hard to see it anymore. And they did that deliberately. Isn't that funny? They did that deliberately. And so it's all disintegrating right now. But it was the place of the skull. Golgotha. Golgotha. I love it. I love it when man tries to defy God. I love that. I used to do it. But I never got anywhere. That's what made me read the Bible one more time. Because I don't want to be a hypocrite. And I don't want to be religious like that. I don't want that. I just want to take care of myself. Well, that was the wrong way to do it. But when it didn't yield happiness, I just said, I'll give it one more shot. Because I don't know why Americans are so church-going. You know, it's like, what for? What do they get out of it? What's in it for me? That's all I ever asked. What's in that for me? Did you know that everybody wants pleasure? Even people that are miserable, they want pleasure. And the reason they're miserable is because they didn't get it. So if you seek pleasure without God, you don't get it. you get pain. Well, I'm going to seek pleasure and avoid as much pain as I can. Ah, you'll just get pain. Because you're seeking it, and you'll never find what you're seeking, just like Israel. Israel never achieved what she was after. She wanted to love God with all her heart and soul and strength, and love her neighbor as herself. Never happened. Never happened. Even to this day, it hasn't happened. And it never will until the millennium. Then they'll actually be sacrificing in the temple. Someone will sit in there and say, I'm God, and all that kind of stuff. And they'll have animal sacrifices again, and they're going to build it on the original spot down in the city of David, Mount Zion. And all of that is literally going to take place. And you know what it'll do for me? What it'll do for me is nothing, because I already read about it in this book. It'll just be like proof. That's like, yeah, well, God said that. Now, I've been living that way now as though this was more true than anything's true here. I've been living it to think I have the perfect wife, the perfect congregation, the perfect enemies. I got everything that you want. So I'm not really scared or nervous about living in this world, because Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's it. You all have a simple way of living your life just by faith. You don't have to see it, but someday you'll see it. As soon as he comes back, you'll see everything. You'll have feelings, you'll have thoughts, they'll all be conformed to the Word of God and everything, and you'll actually be led of the Spirit and so on and so forth. Today you are by faith, but you don't see it. But then you'll actually see it, and you'll say, I really love you. It'll be powerful, only you won't be married by then, so get going. Don't wait. Don't wait around, because we're running out of time. Isn't God good? Oh, God is so good. He's so sweet. Ezekiel 24, and I just finished verse 6. Yeah, 6. Woe to the bloody city, Jerusalem, to the pot whose rust is in it. Isn't that funny? And its rust has not gone out of it. I think the King James says scum. Yeah. Yeah. But it's just rust, scum. Same thing. And then it says, bring it out piece by piece. In other words, put all the bones and everything, the bones of Israel, put them all in the pot, because it'll all be done sooner or later. And they'll be blessed. Israel's going to have a bright, bright, bright future. Most Israelis are not interested in heaven. Most Israelis. They're only interested in this world getting their land back. And it'll happen for 1,000 years. They'll have their land back. And it'll be a great blessing. But it's not the greater blessing of Ephraim. And those people today that are part of Manasseh, the older brother, you'll be great. Just like Ishmael's great. You know, they have 12 kingdoms. That they were given by God. God said that to Hagar. Don't worry about Ishmael. He's going to be great too. Really? Yep. But this is so interesting. Did he say you'll have 13 kingdoms or 12? 12. Ah, that's the problem with the Muslims. They want to have 13. They want to have also Israel. No, I gave it to Isaac. You get 12, you'll be great in this world, but you'll be not great in the kingdom of God. And so your greatness is not as good as greater. Ephraim, the younger brother, got greater. And you know, that's true of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, you know, prophets and so on. They're all going to be in heaven with us. A mighty army of people will be there. So it'd be awesome. How many are ready to love all of Israel, but only those that are righteous? You don't want to love a guy that's nasty and, you know, polluted and so on. You want to love a guy that doesn't cheat you and, you know, doing all things. And they do, by the way. But don't, you know, that's not what you want. What you want is those that actually love the Lord, just like we do, by faith. They have to return to the faith of Abraham, not to the law of Moses. If they had met the law with faith of Abraham, they would be just like us, keeping it by faith. Because his commandments are not burdensome when you do it by faith. I mean, I don't have to even think about it. Is that the devil or me or Jesus? I don't even have to think about it. I just do whatever I do. And sorry, Jesus, if that was me, probably, I think a little point of that might be me. I wanted a little bit of glory. I didn't want all the glory, but I just want a little bit of glory. How many have wanted that? Just a little bit of glory. But Jesus said these words to the Jewish people. I receive not glory from men. In other words, I don't receive your good works. I'm going to say that again. I don't receive your honor. I don't receive your glory. I don't receive anything from you. Your good works are nothing to me. I don't want them. I will do the good work. So I don't receive your good works. Even though you think you're doing good, I don't count it. As a matter of fact, I hate it and despise it. Because I've already done it, and you're trying to replace me with your good works as though you get a reward from doing what you thought was good. It isn't what God thought. God wants Jesus to do it all for us. That's so good. Jesus, go for it. Jesus, just do it. You know, I could relax up. If you're on the earth like I am, you can relax every day because you don't have to perform. You can just be yourself. You can be yourself. Bitterness is in you. That's your flesh. Anger is in you. That's your flesh. Greed is in you. That's your flesh. And so on. Don't worry about that. God will sort that out at the great white throne judgment thing. And, you know, go to the right, go to the left. He'll sort all that out. So you don't have to think, gosh, I hope I didn't do a bad work. You're always doing a bad work in the flesh. So don't worry about that. Jesus said, not only will I forgive all your sins, 1 John, first letter of John, I'll not only forgive your sins, I'll cleanse you. I will cleanse you. I will not forgive. I'll forgive you through my death, but I'll cleanse you from the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you to remove all unrighteousness. Wow, that's good. And I'm still not done. To perfect it all, I'm going to make you perfect in love. So when I come back second time, not the first time now, I'm getting rid of all unrighteousness so you'll be a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. I do that. Wow, do it, Jesus, because I can't help you. I can neither do good. I cannot do good. I'm not capable of doing good. Some of you thought you could, but you can't. And not only that, I'm not able to stop sinning. And not only can I not do good, I'll always do bad, and only Jesus can forgive me every day. Did you know? Because he's pointing out your sins every day, you have sin every day. Every day. And I'm keen on that. I'm not hiding any of my sins. He knows everything about me, inside and out. And, you know, just let it be. I'm not worried. Pastor, you might have done something wrong. Golly. That's like shooting, you know, fishing in an aquarium or something like that. I got one. It's not hard. Or, you know, I went on one of these hunting trips. I can't shoot for anything. But anyway, I went on it and had a nice gun and so on and so forth. And then the birds just flew up, like I shot in the air. Say, hey, don't aim that thing. You know, it's like, I don't know. So the next time they took me, they said, Pastor's really no good at shooting at all. So let's go at where they actually train the birds to lay there until the dog runs up on them. And it's, ruff, ruff, you know, it's right there. You could just shoot it. You did that, Pastor. I don't know that you know they do that. It's all rigged for people that aren't me. I was no good. And bow and arrow I might have been better at, but I was not good with a gun. That thing jerked me way back. Whoa. And then when they shoot them out of the sky,
it's really hard.
when they shoot them out of the sky, you know, because there pops them. And I thought, no, I did that. I just shot my thing, you know, somewhere I'll get something, you know. But they said, actually, Pastor, I did that. Oh. Well, so I didn't get anything? No, not really. Just don't aim your gun at us.
At other people.
Or at the dogs. So they arranged it, and I loved it. It was great. I shot all kinds of birds. You know, there's one right there, and there's another one right here. They had it rigged. They had it rigged. And I said, now I like that. That's a real good now. Now you have to clean the birds. I'm not cleaning any birds. But because you're the pastor, we'll clean them for you. Yeah. So how many having a good time in this world? I'm having a good time. I'm having a ball. Why? I don't have to worry about anything. My beloved Jesus, he does everything.
Amen.
He does it for my benefit, and he forgives all my sins every day, and so on and so forth. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. That's too easy. I'm the wife getting blessed. He's the burden carrier. He always carries the burden. I always get the blessing.
Amen.
Don't know. That's the kind of God you have.
Thank you.
There's no other God like ours. There's no other God that would not want you to do a good work for him, do a sacrifice for him, doing offering for him. Instead of that, he wants to do everything for you.
Hallelujah.
Wow, that's too good to be true.
Yeah.
But it is true. That's more true than anything I've seen on the earth. That's awesome. Let not a lot fall on it. For her blood is in her midst. Am I reading the right thing? Yeah, verse 7. For her blood is in her midst. It's in that bloody city, Jerusalem. She set it on a shining rock. In other words, I don't know how to explain this. It's kind of in the King James. It says something like this. It's on a rock. The blood is put on the rock. In other words, you can see it. You can see it. But that this way, you could see Jesus' blood when he was on the earth. You could see it. There's the blood. So the rock is Jesus. He's the rock he's talking about. He's the rock of Israel. He is the rock. And in the Old Testament, that rock was always there. That rock was our rock is greater than their rock. How many know the bad guys always lose, always perish? They can't possibly win unless we pray for them. So I do. I pray for all the people that hate me and despise me, use me and abuse me. I pray for them. It doesn't hurt me. Jesus loves me. How many know Jesus' love is greater than their hatred? You know, it's nothing. He did it. I'm doing it too because he's in me. That's the hope of glory. That's the hope of glory. Amen? Do y'all see that?
Amen.
We are at home down here. By the way, the world is not the world. The world only means the inhabited portion of the earth. The earth still belongs to God. The earth, well, it's temporal, but it still belongs to God. So the earth is not the one polluted. All you need on the earth is some salt. That salt makes every offering acceptable to God because it's by faith. That is faith. That everything you do is acceptable to God. Apart from faith, you cannot please God. But with faith, you can please him every time. So I just say I have the perfect wife, perfect church in Fort Worth, perfect church over in Uganda, wherever I go. That's perfect. Whoever shows up, that's wonderful to me. And I literally mean that. I'm not scared, nervous, you know. All kinds of stupid things. I do stupid things. Do you all do stupid things every once in a while? Every once in a while? And it's not, you know, you didn't plan it. You just do stupid things. Thank God he covers all that. No, Jim, I already forgave that. When did you do that? When Jesus died on the cross. Oh, you covered all that? Thank you, Jesus. And my only worship is thank you. That's my only worship. So I thank him for what he's done. I praise him for who he is. And I adore him because he's going to marry me. I love that. I love that. How many are ready for your bridegroom? Because he cleans up all your spots. He cleans up all your wrinkles. You know, he has his chastening work that he does. And he wants you to be pure. Amen? Now, I'm not perfect, but I'm perfect in him. In other words, I'm not talking about my behavior. I'm talking about his behavior, that he kept his promise. So that's all. So this blood is out there on that shining rock. She did not pour it on the ground and cover it up with dust or dirt in order to cause fury to come up to take vengeance. I have put her blood. You know, the reason he died is so later he could come back and show vengeance on all the people that didn't believe his word, the unbelievers. The only sin left now is unbelief, not murder, not adultery, not, you know, envy and all that kind of stuff. He's not going to judge you for that. None of those will send you to hell. Only one thing sends you to hell, not believing that Jesus Christ did everything for you, in you, through you. Wow. And when men see your good works, they don't even thank you. They thank your Father, which art in heaven. That's amazing. I didn't even do anything. Well, thank you. What you just said, that I heard Jesus. I only go to one church here when I'm not at our church here. I go to that because that man, I don't care what he says, I believe that he is speaking for God. And that's the one I go to. It's local. And I've known the family forever. And I go there, and I have a ball. In fact, yesterday they said, oh, by the way, all of you that belong to this, you know, assembly or whatever, Pastor Jim is in this assembly. That's the first time they said that out loud. That's funny. Because I can speak out anytime I want to, and, you know, it's just... You know, hey, the Hebrew says this and the Greek says that and so on. It was great. I love it. But when that man speaks, I know he has prayed about it. He has wrestled that. He has lived that. And I know I'm hearing God. And I told the wife yesterday, I said, the reason I would never go anywhere, because he was saying, sometimes I wonder if I'm accomplishing anything, you know. And he said, well, maybe we should go somewhere, you know. Let's go to Pastor Jim's church, one guy says. You know, you don't need to. You have everything here. Make him stay. So you don't need that. Because they have a guy that loves God. I mean, he loves him. His wife loves him. It's powerful. So it's powerful. I'd like to be wherever I can hear God. And when the speaker doesn't say God or, you know, exhibit God, I don't want to go back. I don't want to listen to that. I belong to a huge organization. Robert belongs to it. David belongs to it and so on. Huge. And I'm one of the officers of that group. In fact, the all I do is advise with no power. I have no power. But they cannot advise. They have to get the advice from us. We do all the legislation. So all they can say is yes or no. They can't say, well, could you word it? No, they can't do that. They can just say, we rejected that. Now you figure it out what we needed to say. And that's what my committee does. It's great. And everybody in the fellowship sooner or later has to go through my committee in order to be appointed to some other committee. It's powerful. So I love it. I love to... And the original guy only started a fellowship, not a church, not a denomination, just a fellowship. And it's now 7,000 or whatever members all over the world. And so we're in, I don't know, 30, 40 countries. I don't know how many countries. But anyway, he wanted a fellowship because did you know if you have fellowship with God, you'll have fellowship with one another? If you don't have fellowship with God, you're not going to have any fellowship with one another because their sins are going to bother you. Their shortcomings. How many know it's hard to forgive somebody that's not perfect? Well, since everyone is not perfect, you're not going to ever get forgiveness to work. But in our church here, well, I forgive everybody even before you sin. I guarantee you, there's nothing you can do to make me angry at you or mad at you or judge you or whatever. I'm happy down here. I'm totally happy. I don't care what you do. And that means I don't have the good work to make you do something. I can't convince you of anything. I just preach the word. And if it takes, it takes. If it doesn't take, it doesn't take. And so it's pretty exciting. Anyway, are you all as happy as I am?
Amen.
Yeah, you have to be. You're a Christian. That's all it is, as a Christian. They're happy all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Wow, he repeats it. That means it's something solid. So, verse 9, so the Lord Jehovah says, woe, he said that before, now he's saying it again, to the bloody city, Jerusalem. I also shall heap on the pile, God, and kindle the fire on the wood. You see, this is going to be a burnt offering. Complete the flesh and mix in the spice and let the bones be burned. Who's doing all this? God. He does all that. You don't have to do it. You don't have to go to Aaron, the high priest under the law. You just go to Jesus. He's the new lawgiver, only in this law, the law's on him. On Moses' law, you had to do something. If then. If you do this, then this. You have to do this. You have to have a turtle dove if you're poor. You have to have a beast or whatever. No. With God, he does it all. I like that one. I like that one. It just seems to fit me perfectly. Mm-hmm. I'm just so good. Unlike Peggy's always wanting to be good, I don't want to be good. I'm just me. And Jesus takes care of it. Isn't that amazing? Raul, that is good news. If there's anything wrong in you, don't let your wife even bother about it. Just say, Jesus will take care of it, or otherwise it won't be taken care of. So, you know, we'll just have to leave it. Because no woman can make a man happy. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that? And no man can make a woman happy. Only Jesus. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. It's better to marry Jesus first and then get married after that. Now, you waited till later. That's good. Because now Jesus has done his work and you don't have to do anything to add to it. It's good. It's a good thing. I like it. Just the way it is. Now, your wife is happy too. Why? Because of Jesus. It has nothing to do with one another. Marriage is easy to enter into because it'll fail. It's easy. It's easy to get married. It's just impossible to make the thing work without God. But if you have God, it works because it's easy. You know, I don't care what Peggy does or says or thinks or whatever. I don't even want to hear it. It's just you're perfect, just the way you are. Don't change. Keep doing what you're doing. Sin all you want. It doesn't really bother me. It bothers God, but it doesn't bother me. But God is the one responsible for making her pure. Amen. Amen? So I just say, read the word. Faith cometh by hearing. Read the word. Read it out loud so you can hear it. You know. And it, you know, it's exciting. Do you understand what I'm just saying? Amen. Just read the word. Everyone's ignorant of the word today. I mean, there's only few ministers that are really preaching the word of God. And there's not a lot. There's not a handful that are really true. At least in this country. In other countries, I don't know. Because I don't know everything that's being done. I know Joel is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I can't say much about anybody else. So I like the ones that are, you can hear God. When you hear it, it's like, that's God speaking to me. It touches the heart. Boom. You're changed, transformed into the likeness of Jesus. When a disciple is fully taught, he will be like the master. That, wow, Jesus, do it, do it, do it. Mm-hmm. Next verse. Let's see, where am I? 11, yeah. Then make it stand on its coals empty, so that it may be hot. In other words, let the coals burn down, but they're still hot. And its bronze may glow, because it's a burnt offering. So this is, that's how you make bronze. And its defilement be melted in the midst. In other words, all of that rust or trash or whatever, let that be burned over and over again until it's all gone. That its rust may be consumed. She is wearied with toil, this is Israel, and the increase of her rust did not go out. Her rust will be in the fire then. In your defilement is wickedness, because I have cleansed you. You're clean by the word. Yet you are not clean. You shall be cleaned from your defilement any more until I have made cease my fury on you. In other words, I'm going to judge you for this, but I'm not going to kill you. I'll kill some, but not all. Made cease my fury on you, I, Jehovah, Yahweh, have spoken. It shall come and I will do it. How many know there's no room for you in that one? There's not a cooperation with Jesus. I know a lot of people think you cooperate. There's no cooperation. He does it all or he doesn't do anything. He's either all you've ever wanted, all you've ever needed, or he's nothing. So, for me, he's all. My all in all. So, he's my wisdom, he's my righteousness, he's my strength, he's my joy, he's my peace, he's my everything you can think of. Wow. What a good God. I'm so in love with him. It's amazing. Only love will change you like that. If you get the love of God touching you by faith, whew, it's over. It's over. You know, loving people is so powerful. That's the end of the law. If you love your neighbor as yourself, wow, people like love. They're not so interested in the truth, but they like the love. But only the truth will set you free, not the love. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that again. People like the fruit. They like the fruit, but they don't want to eat the seeds. But only the truth will set you free, not the love. The love attracts you, but it's the fruit that you need to be set free. So they eat around the core. You know, they don't want to eat that part. But that's the part where all the seed is. That's the part where all the good seed that he does for you, because it ain't you doing it. You only like the fruit, and everybody stops right there. I've been born again. That's enough. No, it isn't. You have to also submit to the law so that you keep the law. I can't keep the law. Well, of course you can't keep it, but he keeps it for you. To God be the glory. He keeps it for you. It's by faith. So don't wrestle with this. I mean, people are so psychological. There's no psychology in me. Period. No psychology. None. I don't believe in that. That's the enemy. The enemy is the flesh in your heart, in your soul, in your body. That flesh is what has to go. That's the sin. The sin isn't you with your mind. There's nothing wrong with your mind, but it's full of flesh. That means that the devil did that. I'm not doing his kingdom. That's why baptism is going down and drowning. Now you're under the water and they hold you there for a few minutes. At least I do. I want to make sure they're dead. And then you raise up to new life. Now you're born again, because you entered into his death, and now you raise up to new life. And people look at themselves and said, am I really different? I just got baptized. Am I a different person? Yes, you are, according to God, but it's by faith. According to God, it's by faith. So the biggest ministry is not getting them down. It's having them come up and realize from now on it's an unseen world. Everyone saw me put you down. They didn't see that coming up, you're a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again, more than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. So, is everybody here a brand new man?
Yes.
Amen. I hope I blessed you today.
Amen. Amen.